everybody, and welcome to a very special installment of Nintendo News Report for Tuesday, June 14th, 2016, all about E3, all about Zelda Breath of the Wild, all about Pokemon, all about a new Nintendo IP that was teased literally moments ago. I'm your host, Alexander Kalafi, joined by Donald Terrio.
Right now, I'm on everything but the Titanic, so I might be a little less talkative than normal.
Fantastic. Also joined by one site director of NintendoWorldReport.com, Neil Ronahan.
Yay, Zelda, 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 Zelda.
I'm not sick like Donald, but I've been doing this shit since like 8 in the morning, so I'm loopy.
And we are also joined, making for a full four-man show, one Zachary Miller.
Doo-doo-doo-doo.
Ooh, two Toon Links. All right. All right.
Best link.
We have more to talk about than I thought we would, at least at this point in the game, so we should probably start talking about stuff immediately. Neil, tell me why you're so excited about Zelda Breath of the Wild announced this morning.
Well, it looks really fun. It looks really, really fun. Like, there's shit to do, there's stuff to collect, there's puzzles to solve, there's like 100 of these shrines, there's this old dude with a big beard, you can start forest fires, you can sled on a shield,
you can roll rocks onto bad guys.
Yeah, yeah, you can like use a magnet thing to like solve puzzles. You can use the magnet thing. You can throw your weapon, use the magnet power to pick up your weapon, and fight enemies from far away. Mm. It just looks like a very fun sandbox that I would like to play in. And if it has the same kind of like dungeon and puzzle design that I have loved in the Zelda series for decades, then this is game of the show without even playing it, and with like seeing like a fucking 3-minute trailer for it. I can't wait for this game at this point, but I guess, should I get to, like, more specifics other than whatever vague, rambling thing I just provided?
Yeah, no, that kicked it off. Tell me whatever you want.
So, I'm just kind of using Nintendo's press release that they sent out recently. I guess the whole story hook for this is that Link's been sleeping for 100 years, and then he just wakes up in, like, this weird sci-fi thing and just goes out into the open world.
Like Doom.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he might as well be Doom Guy at this point. Like, it's maybe they'll just give him the tunic, and it'll be like, this is like you'll find all these scrawls of like Link doing shit from the past. I think the popular theory right now is that this is either after Twilight Princess or after Skyward Sword. That seems to be
looks a little more Skyward Swordy.
Yeah. The only thing that anyone from Nintendo is saying about the story right now is Anuma keeps on pointing to like the Sheikah Eye that's on like shirts and materials for this game, and he's just like, that's the key right there. So who knows? I'm sure there are probably Zelda fan sites out there that are way more into the specifics of the timeline and will have the entire story figured out by the end of E3.
But there's a gentleman in the chat room saying that the old man, though, has to be the king of Hyrule.
Does he, though?
I want him to be Groose. If it's on the if it's like after Skyward Sword, I just want him to be Groose. I don't know if there's any sense in
it
that.
He'd be super old.
There was some text in there that might bear a little analysis of him talking a little more. It's actually, they kind of like skipped through it really quickly during Treehouse Live. I think it was a little bit for time, but also broadly because they didn't want to linger on the story.
There was also not really any voice acting besides the usual.
Well, there is voice acting.
Like the old man didn't say shit. He just kind of said.
Yeah, but there was voice acting to start off the game.
Oh, but it doesn't fucking count. Come on.
Actually, no, it really counts.
Yeah, like that's voice acting in a video game. From what, and a lot of this is as I rejoiced in when within 15 minutes a website reported that there were no towns. And then 15 minutes after that, someone said, no, there are towns. we're in the E3 information tango right now. So, yeah. Like, we're dancing, and, like, someone's going to ask one dude who's going to say something that's mistranslated, and then report that, and then everybody's going to be like, Amiibo Festival was free to play.
that's right.
So we're at that point. So, like, some of this might not be 100%. But I think, regardless of anything, that old man is... He's from the past in some game that we've played, and there will be some tie, because he does talk about, like, oh, I remember what it used to be like that.
And I'll bet he becomes more of an integral part of the story, too.
Yeah. But they're shying away of specifics of story. Instead, the focus is on... there's two demos at E3. We have footage of both of them up on this very YouTube channel that you're on right now. I believe there's a 25-minute-long demo and a 15-minute-long demo that explore the same area, which is the plateau, which is the only part that they're really showing, which is reportedly 1% to 2% of the entire map, which I think people were saying, well, one, that the size of the map doesn't mean anything. It depends on what you do in it. From what you can do in that 1% to 2%, that looks pretty cool. But I think more of that percentage than not might be like, here's a giant ocean. It'll still be massive, but I think some of those percentages might be like, here's this ocean that you clear to get to this new area.
Yeah. Better not take me 40 hours to get to the flying mech then.
Yeah.
take 40 hours to get to the raft.
So just kind of doing quick hits on some of the notable stuff. You do not collect rupees or hearts in the world. It looks like there are items that you pick up that you can sell for rupees. So rupees are still a part of the game, but that's the way that's looking. Hearts, you refill hearts by picking up, like, meat and vegetables and making food dishes, which you can do by, like, using wood and a flint to make a little pot.
Yes.
And then you can cook some food.
And if it rains, your fire will go out.
Yeah, which sucks. There's weapons that you can pick up, and there seems to be a wide variety of them, of like differing attack abilities. They also break and wear out. There's swords, there's spears, there's axes, there's sticks, and it seems like all of them kind of have their own nuances to it. Like, I think spears are powerful, but hard, like, but slow to wield. Axes are the same way, you know, swords are swords, et cetera, et cetera. There's the Shrines of Trials, which is kind of the only dungeon-like things that they're showing at E3, and there's supposedly more than 100 of these throughout the world, and they seem like, you can attack them in any order, and they're like bite-sized mini-dungeons.
Well, they reminded me of the occasional puzzle room in, like, Wind Waker.
Yeah, and Link Between Worlds, like how they had the couple rooms where it was like, there's a bunch of rupees here or something. Right. Except for these give you, I think they're like spirit orbs, soul orbs? I think
upgrades.
It's spirit orbs, which these spirit orbs seem like they will likely be used to like gate progress to maybe major dungeons. So like you'll need to like get like 15 spirit orbs. That means you'll have to go through 15 of these dungeons. These dungeons also use runes, which... that you get them in the shrines, and these runes are used to do different abilities. There's the Magnesis rune, which that's the magnet thing I was talking about earlier, where Link can toss metal objects. There's the remote bomb, which has... there's two different types of bombs, and they're like weird blue things, but there's circular bombs and then like cube bombs that stay in one place, and they're all activated remotely. The Stasis rune briefly stops moving objects. That's kind of... I feel like there was stuff like that in the Skyward Sword that seems to kind of branch off of that. And there's the Cryonis rune, which is like the ice rod. It freezes water in place and causes an ice pillar to appear.
Oh, yeah.
There's climate changes. There's snowy areas. There's hot areas.
But is it Hylian caused?
Hmm?
Is it Hylian caused climate change?
Probably.
Yeah. But there's like snowy areas and desert areas, and you need to have... the right clothing. Or you can be a total badass and eat a certain type of food and just walk around naked in like a hot or cold area.
Now that's one thing I did notice is that the weapons and the clothing, things drop things all the time. And you go over and pick it up and it kind of reminded me a hair of Darksiders 2 in that everything drops equipment and you can decide what to equip and what not to equip. You have a carrying limit. And then the shrines almost reminded me, not really, but a touch of the mini optional dungeons in Darksiders 2. Obviously not as big, but...
I should play that game. I have it now.
Yeah, they're just stuck in the, overworld, and yeah, you might wander in there and do some dungeoning. but you don't have to have, you know, certain equipment to do it. You just get through it. So I feel like they're accidentally taking notes from other open world games.
Someone in the chat is throwing out the idea that it could be after Spirit Tracks on the basis that the Koroks from the Wind Waker line of games show up.
But Spirit Tracks is not connected to Wind Waker.
Yeah, it is.
I thought it was in a different universe.
It's Spirit Tracks, Phantom Hourglass, or Wind Waker, Phantom Hourglass, Spirit Tracks. Like, that's a direct line.
Yes. Oh. Same character, I think. Yeah?
Yeah. Spirit Tracks takes place, but there are characters. There are characters from Wind Waker and Phantom Hourglass that appear in Spirit Tracks. I forget the dude's name. It's one of the pirates.
Okay. But anyways, just to comment a little bit on what you were saying, Zach. I think a lot of my impressions of this game goes to the exact phrase you were saying over and over again. Reminds me of. Now, before I say everything I'm about to say, I want to sort of cushion this a little bit by saying this could probably be one of the best games ever made. Like, we'll see. It's Zelda. I won't put it up beyond Nintendo to make one of the best games of all time, especially since it seems like they're going for broke in a lot of ways. But
this is their Final Fantasy 15 in some respects.
In a lot of ways, exactly. Now, I was being a little negative before the show, but I think now that I've collected my thoughts a little more for a few minutes, if I'm going to like be more precise about what I think, the only thing I'm going to say is my eyebrows raise a little because of the amount of times I said reminds me of. The way you can approach things in any direction, reminds me of MGS5. The combat and the just the flow of the game, has a slightly Witcher-ish Elder Scrolls, but not even slight, actually a little more comparable. I look at the combat and I'm like, there's a game that with the initials DS that doesn't not remind me of. And I'm not saying it's like it's copying this stuff. I'm saying it seems to take a lot of inspiration, and I don't know
But the funny thing about that is most of the stuff that you're saying, oh, that reminds me of that, I could probably also draw comparisons to other Zelda games that dip their toe into that.
Yes, of course.
And that's the one thing where, like, I I'm not into MGS5. I played Witcher 2. I should probably play Witcher 3. I didn't like Witcher 2 that much. Dark Souls I've never gotten into. But, like, I hear you say that, and I get that, because it seems like they are more directly inspired by, like, you know, popular games in related genres than really ever before.
That's right. But I also there are campfires.
Yeah. I also think that a lot of those things are also picking up on threads from past Zelda games, and maybe they were like, you know, maybe Anima was like, played Skyrim and was like, oh, like some of this stuff reminds me of that. Oh, like, we did that in Wind Waker. We could probably, you know, like, this is how they did it there. Maybe we can kind of pull that thread and see where that goes. Like, maybe that's something that happened. And I mean, I don't know. It's hard. Sometimes Nintendo is too far into that bubble of not doing anything that other people are doing, and that sometimes gets them to be outrageously backwards. And it's kind of nice that it seems like they're doing something that's a little more inspired by popular games.
Right. I'm not saying it's bad.
Do their own thing.
Yeah, but after when you expressed disappointment before the show, and I basically told you, like, go eat shit and die, I understand where you're coming from a little bit more.
Right. Like, I think we were both
still
a little
go more... eat shit and die. No.
I mean, like, that's just a typical conversation between us. But... No. I'm going to always stay optimistic, and I don't even think I'm necessarily pessimistic, but I just think, like, if you just totally remove the Zelda aspect from this game, and, like, if you just forget Zelda's a thing, and you just look at this, and you just cold calculated compare this to a bunch
Horizon
of open world
Zero
games
Dawn?
That came out in the last 8 years, I'm not even that interested in that one.
It looked really Zelda-like in the presentation yesterday.
Mm. Yeah. It's just, if you compare this to a lot of open world games that have come out in the last 10 years, it looks a little less impressive, still impressive in many ways, but a little less impressive, and I'm just wondering, like, Like, could this play out in according to my fears that this just ends up being an open world game that gets a pass because it's Zelda? That's my fear. That's not my expectation. And my hope is that ends up being the best game ever.
My worry is that they kept saying throughout the Treehouse demo, oh, there are these subtle clues as what to do next, where to go next. But they never actually showed you what those were. I mean, the whole demo, aside from the shrine stuff, was the people just messing around. And I appreciated that, but I wonder, like, what's your, to use a Player One podcast phrase, critical path?
I think a lot of things were stripped out for the demo.
I'm sure that's true. Absolutely.
Because they said it like 5 or 6 times on the stream about how, like, we're not talking about the story. We removed a lot of the story stuff from this demo because we didn't want to spoil people, which is good. It would even be nicer if they communicated that more beforehand, because I think some people just avoided seeing a lot of the game in general because they didn't want to be spoiled.
Yeah. It would have been cool if, like, if there's a button where you, like, whip out your Shekiah slate and on the map somewhere a beam of light shines down. This is where you're supposed to be going.
But how do we know that? Like, that could be in there.
Yeah, I know. I just wish something, even if they didn't go that way, I wish they would have said, well, this is how you know where you're supposed to, what you're supposed to be doing.
It's also still in development for another series of months. And enough months that something like that could be added.
We were talking about this when we were doing our stream earlier today. One, that there was probably, like, they even said it, that there were characters and probably even towns that were basically just taken out of this demo. It reminds me a lot of what the Skyward Sword demo was in 2010? Yeah, 2010.
Yeah. When you saw
the finished game, you're like, oh, yeah, there's parts of that demo, like, that boss was in this demo, but you went into, like, it was just, like, a grassy area where you explored. And, like, there were some rooms that you could go into that would, like, take you to a boss fight or take you to a puzzle or something.
And rolled bombs.
Very, very reminiscent of what this playground-like demo is as well. And as far as the 9 months of development, I think that the reason why this game is coming out next year has more to do with the NX than it does this game not being finished.
This game might be finished or nearly finished.
I think that this game could have come out in November.
Sure.
Probably. I think the delay is to align with NX. I have no inside information here. This is just speculation on, because they've been developing it for the better part of half a decade. I think that Zelda the Breath of the Wild.
Fantastic title, by the way.
It's a pretty cool title.
It's a different title for a different Zelda.
Yeah. I think this could have been a November game, but they are holding it back to come out with the NX.
Right. Yeah. But
someone said that they did show an objective marker during the first Treehouse segment.
Oh.
Yeah. And the game that we thought was going to be the big Wii U holiday game this year, considering Zelda's 2017, Paper Mario, is now October.
Yeah.
So they have a giant hole in November, and I'm not sure they're going to fill it at this point.
Right. So. Well, they won't. They have Pokemon, and that's going to basically be their holiday game, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Anything else we want to say about Zelda, other than the fact, I guess we went straight into mechanics and didn't talk about, like, the overview of the game entirely, the fact that it's doing its own completely new stuff that we were talking about, but in a lot of ways it's going back to basics of the original Zelda, and that it's a go anywhere you want. It's tackle things in any direction. And in a lot of ways, it's not a remake, but it does in some ways feel like a reimagining of the original Zelda, but with all the technology and knowledge of Zelda that people have now.
I'm very excited about how... one thing I was thinking when I was watching the stream was, if you put a different character in the game that was not very clearly Link, it would not be... You would not recognize it as a Zelda game necessarily.
Yeah.
I really like that.
And I think that's very interesting.
I think it's great.
Yeah, like
this is what Zelda's needed.
I want this game really badly.
Yeah.
I I just think the way that they've presented it this at this E3, I think it wasn't optimal for getting. I mean, I'm plenty excited for this game, but after 5 hours of Zelda this afternoon, I wanted Pokemon back, and I admitted this such on the stream.
They showed too much of that game. Not necessarily content-wise, like revealing too much, but they too much.
They could have broken it up.
Out there. Yeah. A 20-minute super tight demo with that's like has cuts around it and stuff. If they packaged that super neatly, I think the game would have shown even better. And that's despite the fact that I think the game actually showed really well in most ways. Most ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think they repeated too much with some of the Treehouse stuff, but I think it seemed like they had a more rigid schedule, and then it just kind of like kept on changing. Like it was weird. It would be like, here was the schedule at the beginning of the day, and then like that got changed. It was like, oh no, there's something in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But like when they had the focus on like, all right, yeah, we're gonna look at this specific shrine, or like here are two shrines that aren't in the demo. We're gonna walk around the perimeter of the plateau and look at what's out there. Like the hunting and gathering focus for one of the segments, like that was cool. And then they just had a lot of like, I don't know, I'm gonna go in here and set up this chain of barrels to blow up, which is fun. But like, it did seem like there might have been a better way to have it. I bet they kind of did do that, because they did have, like, kind of defined segments where this was the focus of this 20-minute chunk.
Yeah, but I think between those chunks, they could have had, you know, other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're having 3 days of a show, they're only having two. Go on, Donald.
Yeah, and last year, I mean, they probably showed as much Mario Maker over the 3 days of Treehouse Live than they did Zelda today. Mm-hmm. The difference is, it was spread over 3 days, and there was something different, because I was about as hyped for Mario Maker at the end of last year's E3 than I am for Zelda right now, but there was things in between to break it up, like just running it all in one shot and then plowing everything into tomorrow. I maybe that was what people wanted, because Lord knows the riots during the Pokemon segment on Twitter and Giant Bomb walking out on their live stream suggested that people wanted to see Zelda, but it just didn't click for me at the end.
I think people were expecting to see Zelda. I think that Nintendo's weird, like, double back to being like, oh no, Pokemon's gonna start it off. Like, I think
that was weird.
I think it wasn't the best communicated thing. And the fact that like the entire first hour was Pokemon, it was just like they were like, here's this trailer. All right, see you in 45 minutes. Like,
Reggie was poorly done. He said, well, we know you've wanted to see Zelda for 5 years, but here's Pokemon.
Yeah.
It was a bad idea to do it the way they did. I understand why they put Pokemon first, because in their minds,
nobody would have given a shit.
No, that's not true. It's just, it would have been better if they put Pokemon in the middle of the stream to break up the Zelda.
Yeah, right.
But I think that covers Zelda.
I got one... amiibo stuff.
Those amiibos look so good. I need them all.
I mean, first off, the Wolf Link amiibo. So I guess if you want Twilight Princess HD and that Wolf Link amiibo, act now, because it'll probably go back up in price. But the Wolf Link amiibo stuff, cool. It like adds this partner that you can rock around with your Wolf Link amiibo and go fuck shit up. It's pretty cool. And then there's three other amiibo that we don't know what their use would be. I don't even know what it would be. I hope it's cool. But there's like,
I don't even care. They're so good looking.
Yeah, there's what it's Hunter,
Link with a bow,
Archer, Link on horseback, Rider, and a Guardian that's the one with the lasers from the first trailer.
Yep.
That is the first amiibo with flexible parts.
Yeah, and they look really cool. The details.
Oh, hey, that reminds me. I think those Guardians look kind of stupid.
I think they look like pee hats.
I don't know why, but I think they look dumb.
The future Zelda stuff's kind of interesting. I just hope they lean into it more than they did today. When the game ultimately comes out. Like, future Zelda's a great idea that I think they're like dipping their toe in, but I don't think they're where they could be.
There's Zelda stuff in Skyward Sword, right?
Yeah, with well, I mean, Zach, if you played the game, then you know.
It's on my shelf. I mean, it's on the TV.
There's like a third of that game that has stuff that I mean, a third of that game seems like it directly inspired a big chunk of this game.
Nice.
Because it's got all this weird, cool, future-y, time travel-y stuff. I once again, I'll point to the whole thing about that they removed story stuff from this demo. I think it looks like the future stuff with those guardians seem to be a big part of the story. They seem to be
they're probably your enemies.
And keep in mind, this is running on the Xenoblade engine, so you might as well just make them your Mechanus and move on.
Yeah.
But in other amiibo news, Rosalina's getting a new pose.
Yay.
Oh boy, I'm so excited.
And Princess Daisy.
Hey dude, Waluigi's getting an amiibo. This is a good day.
That's so good. And the Boo is glow in the dark.
That's
it's
fun.
Boo, and then there's also Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong in
and Daisy.
And the Daisy. Donkey Kong and Diddy and Kong look a billion times better than their Smash counterparts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's all for that new Mario Party game that we know very little of. It's coming out in November in North America and October and for Europe.
Yes.
And all four players can go at the same time.
Mario Party Star Rush launches November 4th. The big thing for this Mario Party game is that you can make all four players make their turn at the same time. And they make changes to make it more fast-paced and portable-friendly, which is probably the thing they needed to change the most about that series. Not just in the portable versions, just in general.
Yeah, but they'll never be able to have a good Mario Party party with it, so don't even worry about it.
They might accidentally make a good game this time.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to Pokemon. Zelda seems like Zelda. Well, actually, no, it doesn't seem like Zelda, but that's what's exciting about it.
He just contradicted our entire past.
There's Zelda excitement in the air. Hooray. Yeah.
It's fun.
But what they opened up the Nintendo Treehouse with is a Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon demo that shows most of the first hour of that game. So some of the stuff they showed off were three new Pokemon. Yungoost, the normal-type loitering Pokemon. They showed off Pikpek, who's the 3D model that was super teased in the very, very original showing of this game. And there was also... what's the crab's name?
The bug thing?
I fell asleep for that.
Grubbin.
I didn't even Grubbin. See that one.
Grubbin. He's going to probably... seems like he evolves into an electric type. At least that's what people are hoping.
Ah, okay. And then they also showed off...
okay, Grubbin looks pretty cool.
They showed off a new multiplayer mode called Battle Royal. It's they're pronouncing it Battle Royale, but they're spelling it Battle Royal, which is kind of weird. In this four-player mode, it's four trainers battling each other at the same time. So it's one-on-one-on-one-on-one, and it's up to three Pokemon against each other. That seems okay, but here's my beef with this demo. This game looks pretty cool. They expanded the movement. The game looks like a proper 3D JRPG now, which is pretty exciting. The problem is they did a terrible job of showing it off. They showed the most boring part they showed the most cookie-cutter part of any Pokemon game, which is the initial hour, which is basically you talk to some people, there are some light story stuff, you fight a few low-level Pokemon, and then that was it. It didn't do very much to show what actually makes this Pokemon game unique outside of this new multiplayer feature, which Pokemon always has a new multiplayer thing anyway, so whatever. And then three low-level Pokemon, which are probably all three of the first Pokemon you're going to meet in the game that aren't your starter Pokemon, which kind of bothers me a little bit because that kind of kills a little bit of the surprise coming out of the gate. So the game looks kind of cool. The one thing that's new that I noticed was that they note, it's Donald, correct me on this, but they note whether an attack is going to be effective, not very effective, or super effective on another Pokemon. That's next to the moves now. And then they also noted stat changes. That's something that they're doing a stronger job of noting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they cut to several times to a screen showing this Pokemon has a one stage lower attack than normal.
Right. It looks like a fine game. The game looks great. It's just... it was boring, and it didn't come on the Nintendo Treehouse when everyone wanted it to, and it was too long-winded, so it didn't really do anything for anyone except for the people who are super into Pokemon. But even then, we've played these parts of Pokemon games maybe 19 times now, so that didn't even do it for us.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it, but I strongly dislike and disapprove of the way they show this game off. And I hope that whatever Nintendo video thing they might have planned for this game on Thursday, which I'm still not sure what the deal is with that, because they're barely mentioning it, hopefully they do a better job of making the game look cool. Yeah.
I'm surprised, or I continue to be surprised, that the Sun and Moon-shaped rock Pokemon don't have Mega Evolutions or something.
They don't, but they do have these forms that they only revealed in a press release today, but they might just be, like, visual forms.
And in the trailer, but he's referring to Lunatone and Solrock, I think. Right.
Oh, yeah.
They already have a Sun and Moon Pokemon that they're not using.
Well, they might.
A dumb-looking, one-eyed bat thing. And the Fire Lido that already exists in Pokemon.
At this point in the game, both of those Pokemon you just described, I might have been thinking of like three other Pokemon from various generations.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but they also revealed these new forms for Solgaleo and Lunala. It is their Radiant Sun phase for Solgaleo, and Lunala turns into the Full Moon phase. It seems story-related. They were also talking about some weird god thing of the island during the story part of Sun and Moon, and that might be a legendary Pokemon. It had, like, a very Hawaiian name. You know the part I was talking about, Donald.
They mentioned like two of four deities, each of which represents one of the islands of Alola in this case.
Which sounds like it might end up matching up to the legendary trio or quadrilogy or
whatever. A trio and their master, I think is the term they like to use.
Yeah.
You know, give the big island trio master.
Here's the vibe I get just before we move on, is I have a feeling this game will have fewer than 100 new Pokemon, and it might be like 70 again, like with X and Y, which is an enormous bummer, but I'm also not necessarily the fondest of some of the Pokemon they've showed off so far.
Me neither. They all look kind of dumb.
The Woodpecker looks fine, Grubbin looks ridiculous, and people are comparing Young Goose to Donald Trump, and I kind of see what they're talking about, but I don't necessarily entirely agree. I do agree that he looks really stupid, and his name is even worse.
Yeah, it's a dumb name.
There's already, like, 67 other tiny bird Pokemon. This one just happens to have some red feathers on his head.
Yeah.
There will be a koala Pokemon. That's notable, because there's only one other marsupial Pokemon. That's Kangaskhan. Mm.
Wow. What do you think, Donald?
I was going to say, Yongoose, I can see how he looks like Trump, but he's going to be like the complete opposite of Trump, and then I'll actually want to look at him after 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Okay, the other thing I just wanted to very briefly mention, and it keeps being one more thing, and I'm trying to like decide in my mind what's something worth talking about on this show and what's something worth keeping to myself. But if we like talking about game directors, and I know we all love to,
the director
of this game, this is his second Pokemon game that he's directing, I think. Yeah, the first one he directed was Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire.
Cool.
Yeah.
You have to finish that game.
So before Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, were they all Masuda?
Well, they were Masuda before they were, like, Tajiri. Like, none. Now it's this guy. Let me get his name just because I want to give him credit to the show that like 1,500 people are going to watch.
Okay, so that was the other dude who was...
The other dude was the director.
All right.
Masuda moved to where Tajiri moved, Tajiri technically still is, where he's like a producer role now. The director's name is Shigeru Omori.
Okay. That's a name to remember.
Yeah, and Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. We won't get into those. we don't like to talk about those.
I find it hard to fault a first-time director who's directing a remake.
Fair.
If Sun and Moon turns out that there's issues with that that are reminiscent of Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, then okay, yeah, maybe damn the guy a little bit. But, but I find, like, it's kind of like they're just taking the training wheels off. Like,
right.
We know the guy's got a thing for water, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Too much water, man.
Yeah, okay. That should do it for Pokemon Sun and Moon.
His favorite's probably Popplio.
So what else do we want to hit?
We can hit mostly. There's not that much actually left to hit still.
Can I do E3 pimping right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
As I mentioned before, we've got both Zelda demos. We've got off-screen video of that. We should be getting direct feed tomorrow. So get ready for some Zelda lovin'. We also have an interview with some of the guys from Ukulele, which I have not watched yet, but I think TYP's interview with Grant Kirkhope last year was one of my favorite things that we did at E3. So I'm sure it's awesome. The Ukulele guys are a hell of a lot of fun to talk to. And also, in about 40 minutes on this very channel, I and whoever else wants to join me will be talking to Michael TYP Cole about playing the Zelda demo, playing Ukulele, and just general E3 experiences. And we'll have more stuff from the, like, four other Nintendo system games that are on the show floor on Wednesday and Thursday.
Shantae's there.
Yeah. I think that's Thursday.
I'm hoping my backer demo is updated to reflect any new content.
And we might have a short interview with the Renbow guys, I think. Ooh. I don't know.
Shantae and Runbow.
Yes. Runbow getting physical releases and coming to 3DS too.
Yeah.
I guess we never
coming to 3DS and Wii U. That's exciting.
Yep. I guess we never hit the Nindy stuff either. I mean, we basically just hit the Nindy stuff right now. Axiom Verge is coming later this summer. Jotun looks cool.
Jotun looks not.
And Nintendo's stealing exclusives from the one system it can, the Vita.
Yeah. Well, hey, just think, how many sales did they make on that game?
Enough to make more.
Oh, which game?
Severed.
Vita indie games do shockingly well. At least they did back in the day.
I mean, Drinkbox is one of those guys that they were there day one on the Vita, and I think they've developed a pretty good fan base there.
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if the game at least did good enough for the Vita, whatever good enough consists of.
Yeah.
Can I just haven't... Did you have anything else to pimp on the site?
No, that's it. Okay. Pay attention to the site. There will be more shit over the next 2 days.
The only thing I wanted to call back that I remembered that I wrote down as a bullet point about Zelda is that despite my apprehension with the game, I do appreciate the fact that Zelda is reinventing itself, and it is the latest in this trend of video games coming back for a sequel years later that is, like, almost a completely different genre than what it started as. Uncharted 4 was a pretty good example of that. Metal Gear Solid 5. We got God of War, which was my game of show, maybe, but there will probably be a different podcast we can talk about that on. And now Zelda. So, like, there are game sequels are changing themselves up, and that's actually a surprisingly, like, awesome trend.
How is Uncharted 4 not like 2 and 3? Because from what Uncharted, I hear, virtually
should we save that for a different... Should we
say
our Nintendo wrap-up?
Okay. Yeah. We're going to probably do another one of these that's like the rest of the Nintendo news and then maybe a little cleanup on non-Nintendo stuff.
Yeah, because there was some cool shit in those other press conferences.
Maybe not Microsoft's, but...
We'll save it. We'll save it for preview. It's been an injury. Consider that a tease. Yeah, Donald.
Yeah, so just a couple of things here. There's a rumor going around because of some Target point-of-sale stuff being set up that Dragon Quest VII, which got redated for 2016 today...
Redated?
They sent it out...
What's the fucking release date that we've had?
Yeah, and they reiterated it.
That's yeah. We were reminded this is the release date that Nintendo has said. This is that's like some like we looked at the investor relations calendar, and there's not a release date for Zelda. It must be delayed. Like that's that kind of shit.
Yeah, but basically, some targets across the country apparently are setting up as though that game is coming this week. That's
no, they're not.
Okay.
There is shelf space dedicated to it. I guess friend of the site from RP Gamer, Final Max Storm on Twitter.
My old boss, Mike Cunningham.
Good dude. He went to a Target in his home state of Tennessee, got the clerk there to scan the Dragon Quest VII thing, and there was it was street dated with no release date. There were none in stock, and there were none on the way. So if that game were coming out this week for some god-awful reason in which Dragon Quest VII bombs on 3DS and we don't get any more, I don't think that's accurate. Like because it would be weird if they didn't unveil anything about it coming out soon tomorrow when it's on a Treehouse Live segment. And also, like, legitimately, if Dragon Quest VII came out this week, it's dead. You don't Sega Saturn a series that has been kind of hard to market in the country.
Yeah.
From what I expect and what I know, I think Dragon Quest VII will get a release date tomorrow for August or September.
That is fair. We should talk about the other thing I want to talk about during this show today is talk about stuff happening tomorrow, because we have a good idea of what's happening tomorrow, and then there are also some dates that were announced or at least further confirmed. Like we got that starts at 1 Eastern, 10 Pacific tomorrow.
That's right when the show floor opens.
Right when the show floor opens. It talks about Dragon Quest VII Fragments of the Forgotten Past. You get to look at the new Mario Party game. There is a release date for Paper Mario Color Splash, which is October 7th. It seems like there could be a couple other surprises.
There's also, I think there's a press release that you're not looking at that has a lot more details.
That's the one that just came out like right before we started recording.
Yeah. I have it open right now.
That one mentioned... Okay.
There's a Pokemon Go developer Q&A kicking off the show.
Right. And then Yo-Kai Watch 2, both versions of that. Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix, which there could be.
Yes.
It is alive. You know what would be a crazy game to come out tomorrow? Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix.
Yeah. No. I once again, suicide.
But it would be awesome.
That makes a lot more sense. That makes a little more sense than a giant Japanese RPG. Right before a similar giant Japanese RPG comes out next week, then Tokyo Mirage Sessions is already probably going to bomb.
Right.
It's really good.
Yeah, it doesn't need any help to that on its own.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that there's a Japanese RPG coming out tomorrow, but it ain't Dragon Quest.
It's if Mother 3 was coming out, you know what, Zach? I'm gonna record.
It's literally happening.
Here's the thing.
There is a localized version of Mother 3 at Nintendo of America.
It doesn't matter. They have a lot of stuff there.
They don't have a lot of stuff there. anyway,
what do we do with all these games?
If it was gonna happen,
we have at least three more Wii U games coming out this year. What do we do? Actually, I think I might have. No, I think there's only two.
So if it was going to happen, what would happen is if they were gonna release anything, it would be an eShop exclusive game, which obviously Mother 3 would be. And also, if Mother 3 was going to be announced for coming out, they would just drop the trailer either at the end or at the beginning or in the middle, and they would just be, here you go. There would be no indication that would happen in either of these press releases. So if I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but if you still have hope, it's reasonable to continue having that hope, I guess.
Yeah.
It's acceptable.
As I've said many times, is there was a time where I was like, earlier this year when I first heard murmurs about a localization of Mother 3 being worked on at Nintendo of America and Nintendo of Europe, when I first heard that I was like, oh yeah, it'll totally be out by E3. And then Nintendo announced their E3 plans. I have no idea which way is up. So, like, sure, maybe it's tomorrow. I think it'll be this year. I hope. I really want to play that game.
Yeah, and then you have, yeah.
And then the other, I think the other games they've got, Monster Hunter, Dragon Quest, and this out-of-nowhere thing, a new role-playing IP for Nintendo 3DS. Okay, stop me if that sounds familiar.
Oh.
It's actually, it's going to be Coder Namer Steamer.
ew.
It'll be a codename Steam spin off.
I was going to say, those Gabe sales took a Cleveland steamer.
Okay. I did not expect this. Does anybody, like, what can we even expect of this new role-playing IP?
Well, it depends if Culbicept counts. If it counts, then it's probably that. If it doesn't count, it'll probably, there's like a 30 to 40% chance it's whatever Intelligent Systems is working on.
This is what they've turned Metroid into.
This is what
Metroid Prime Federation Force is now an RPG.
A new role-playing IP. Not even an RPG, just a role-playing IP.
We noticed you guys didn't like the chibi art style with the four-player co-op. We're turning it into an RPG.
We still haven't mentioned Federation Force on this fucking thing.
Samus still isn't in it, but it's an RPG now.
I... The only thing I can think of is that they're localizing something from Japan. But I can't even imagine what that would be at this point, since it seems like everything is already coming over.
Is there anything Atlus has just not bothered to bring over yet?
This sounds like a Nintendo game.
Yeah.
The last thing aside from Metroid Odyssey 5, which isn't even out in Japan yet. Yeah. The only thing that they had on their docket was Shin Megami Tensei Apocalypse, and that's
which is out. It's playable.
Shin Megami Tensei is the furthest thing maybe in existence from a new franchise
that Nintendo would touch with a 10-foot pole.
I guess maybe Intelligent Systems could be the developer potentially.
They work on multiple games at once.
Yeah, could it be that codename Steam? Team might be free, I guess.
Free to make another bad game.
What's 1UP the old Bernie Brown guys doing?
I thought about that too. That team has like 30 people in it, doesn't it?
Which is they mostly assist with Mario games, I think.
Because I was thinking something along the lines of like spiritual successor to Fantasy Life.
Arzest. Just kidding.
Be interesting though.
Who else does Nintendo have access to? I'm actually looking up Nintendo development teams. It wouldn't be Retro.
What's Retro doing? Retro.
I mean, I think that all the buzz with Retro was NX, so...
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, like, having them make a 3DS game doesn't necessarily make a ton of sense to me. They're, like, console-y guys. Nintendo Software Technology...
An Animal Crossing RPG where you're Tom Nook just milking people out.
Monolith Software. Weren't they working on an RPG for 3DS a long time ago, or was that Xenoblade Chronicles 3D? You remember what I was talking about? It was like 3-4 years ago. They were like Monolith is working on some game.
Maybe.
Sure.
I mean, we're really just fucking throwing darts in the pitch black dark.
That's not insane though. Like you remember that.
Yeah, they also did help out with like Project Crosszone 1 and 2.
Yeah. So
maybe it'll be something Xenoblade related.
What if Next Level Games at the same time as Federation Force was making a good game?
No, I don't think they're big enough to do two games when they already have the game of the year on their plate.
Oh.
To follow up on my past laughing fit, Metroid Prime Federation Force is still not mentioned at appearing tomorrow. I still think it will.
Oh, that's funny.
But I think it is a concerted effort by Nintendo that they're just like, nope, fuck it, not worth mentioning this game.
Yeah.
It'll come out in August and we'll forget about it and we'll move on.
I think I've said this before. It'll take the devil's third spot in the weekly downloads. Press release.
I have an actual serious idea about what it could be, but it's really far-fetched. Okay.
Who gives a shit, man? Go for it.
Okay. Creatures, Inc. made Mother 3.
Jesus.
Creatures, Inc.
used to be Ape.
Creatures, Inc. It could be... Ooh, and they also made Detective Pikachu? Oh, wait, no, that makes total sense. But they could have also been... They could have also been working on another RPG, because they make other games, and then as they introduce this, from the famed creators of the Mother series, remember when we did that last year? Check it, Mother 3. Fuck you, Emily Rogers. That's not me saying that, that's me imagining Nintendo saying that. You're great, but that's how I could see it playing out.
Oh, but and can we just say for the record that if you were insulting Emily Rogers for getting the female Link part wrong, she still went 2 for 3 and go F yourself.
Yeah.
No, she's fantastic.
Yeah, she's a wonderful human being. And
she,
I think
she writes a lot of good stuff. But anyways, that's an idea. You got Creatures, Inc., you got Intelligent Systems, and you got Monolith Soft. Those are all actually relatively decent.
I'm really excited to see whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know if I even need another RPG, but like, sure, why not? What the hell?
Or it's Cul-de-Sept, but it comes out under a different name. How bad could that be?
Well, it could be like a 2017 game, just an aftershock to this earthquake of RPGs.
It's probably a 2017
game. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if there's that much space for 3DS for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And oddball suggestion from the chat, Koenji Joshi Soccer 3.
Is that like Inazuma?
Sounds like it, except Joshi is usually a Japanese term for female athletes, so...
Let me see how that's spelled. I'm going to type that into Google just to see what that looks like. But they should announce the Inazuma 11 2. It's for North America.
There's 15 of those games?
I don't think the first one did very well for North America.
That game was more fun than I thought it had any right to be.
F that game.
This is not what I expected this game to look like.
Is it like Criminal Girls?
Is this the kind of thing I should be looking up?
This is a Zach as hell game.
Okay. How do you spell that shit?
It's in the chat.
KOUENJIJOSHI. Soccer 3. Koenji Joshi Soccer 3. It'll probably auto-correct you. Anyways, Nintendo's presence at E3, I'm not going to say it's good or bad, but it's certainly weird.
Yeah, I think at the end of this week, I guess like if whatever surprises they have for tomorrow, as long as like they're interesting, I think this E3 is not a lost year for Nintendo like we thought it would be.
I mean, they might have lost, but it's not a, there's whatever, yeah. But like it's not.
I think the Zelda, from a bigger picture. I mean, kind of putting my personal extreme hype aside.
Oh my God.
It seems like the general consensus on the Zelda demo so far is that people are really happy with it. So that bodes well for how this E3 will go down for Nintendo.
And let's keep in mind, it's not like anything that Sony showed is coming out this year anyway.
Yeah, that's
except
true.
Except The Last Guardian.
That's it.
Maybe.
And VR.
Yeah.
And VR.
Okay, VR.
But we'll talk about more of that stuff in the future. I also hope they actually do have a video for Pokemon, because it's been bothering me that they mentioned it once or twice in, like, very passing, and then haven't mentioned it again at all. But we'll see if that Pokemon video ends up coming to fruition. Yeah, this E3 is interesting, but we'll talk about that on the next show. It sounds like this will do it for part one, though. Yeah?
Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, that's our show. Patreon.com/NWR. I did not forget, Neil. Patreon.com/NWR. Donate! This show will be receiving an audio version because it's the people of Patreon who requested it. And we love everyone, but we also love the people of Patreon. So donate and do good stuff. Keep Nintendo World Report running extra smooth. Catch our E3 content. It's cool this year. It's cool every year, but it's cool this year.
Alex, if I can just jump in for one moment here. Video listeners, if you haven't already, you can send an email to contest@NintendoWorldReport.com with the keyword Stardew, because Stardew Valley is coming to Wii U now.
That's
to
cool.
Win an, to win an Amiibo or game download. And we're doing that every day of E3.
Nice. You can find Neil on Twitter at nron10, N-R-O-N, the number 10. Zach Miller at zmiller1902, Z-M-I-L-L-E-R 1902. Donald Terrio at Donald Mick, that is D-O-N-A-L-D-M-I-C-K. Mia Kulafia, C-U-L-A-F-I-A. That is our show. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.